Books of Elsewhere, Chapter 9, page 70. Olive rushed to the house, gathering supplies. The more she thought about the basement, the less she wanted to go down there. But the faster she moved, the less time she had to think. It was like jumping into a chilly swimming pool. The moments she spent with her toes curled over the edge of the diving board were always worse than the moment when she finally hit the water. Besides, if she hurried, she might have just enough time to explore the basement before her parents got home and started asking inconvenient questions about what she was doing in her least favorite part of the house. What would Mr. and Mrs. Dunwoody say if they knew their daughter thought she could talk to a cat and climb in and out of paintings? They would probably yank a strand of her hair and take it in for DNA testing. In her bedroom, Olive dug through the closet, looking for a pair of slippers to wear for protection against the chilly stone floor. But there were no slippers to be found. Olive owned 6 pairs of slippers, but none were where they belonged. This was because Olive's body often did things without consulting Olive's brain, which was usually busy with something much more interesting than putting things away in the right place. A second pair of socks will have to do. Downstairs, Olive rummaged through the kitchen drawers, finding packets of soy sauce, a doll's leg, several used toothbrushes, a few flashlights with batteries that weren't dead yet, and something that looked like a rusty egg beater, but might have come from the inside of a clock. Olive wedged 2 working flashlights into her pockets. She paused at the top of the rickety basement steps. A cold, dusty draft blew up through the doorway. Olive tensed and listened. The basement was quiet. She took a deep breath, flicked on the first flashlight, and ventured down, following the beam that sliced a little hole through the dark. At the bottom of the steps, Olive groped for the chain of a hanging light bulb. Its weak, yellow glow pushed the shadows into a circle. Olive could feel the chill of the damp stone floor even through the double layer of socks. She shivered and held the flashlight up high and started her search for the basement's twisty corners where the electric light couldn't reach. She started with the shelves, but into the wall under the stairs. There was nothing but a few sealed mason jars covered in dust. Olive pulled one down, half expecting to see that it was full of dead frogs or eyeballs and formaldehyde. She found something almost as disgusting. "Pickled beets," said the spidery handwriting on the label. Obviously, it was weird that anyone would like pickled beets, but this probably wasn't the strange thing that the builders had mentioned. Olive sighed, pushing the jar back onto the shelf. She found a few gummy paint cans in the corner and an empty box or two beside the washing machine and a pack of replacement light bulbs. She looked around at the mottled stone walls, at the dust floating softly through the flashlight beam. What on earth had the builders been talking about? What was wrong with this place? Olive ran her free hand up and down her arm, trying to erase the goosebumps. Yes, there was something funny about the basement. Not about the way it looked, but about how it felt. If the paintings upstairs were hiding something, the basement was hiding something uglier. There were certainly no paintings down here, and yet, as she sliced her little blade of light across one cobwebby corner, Olive had the sensation again of someone watching her. Olive edged cautiously back toward the stairs, keeping the flashlight raised. Just as her foot reached the bottom step in the farthest, darkest corner, she caught a familiar glimmer of green. "Horatio? Is that you?" she whispered. There was no answer. Steeling herself, Olive tiptoed into the darkness, following the green glimmer. "Hello?" she squeaked. Still no answer. A feeling of panic pounded its way out from her heart through her whole body. As the tiny hairs on her arms stood up in her hand, the flashlight quivered. What was in the corner? How long had it been there, watching and waiting? Olive took another teensy step. The pool of gold light from her flashlight washed over the form of a cat. It was black from nose to tail, green-eyed and sleek. It was gigantic, even bigger than Horatio. In fact, it looked less like a cat and more like a small domestic panther. It sat sharply erect, with its tail wrapped around its feet. It didn't even blink as Olive approached. Olive was starting to wonder if Mrs. McMartin had a habit of stuffing her dead pets when the cat gave a sharp, soldierly bow. Olive jumped. Her stifled shriek bounced off the stone walls. "Good morning, miss," the cat said and returned to its position.
Good morning," stammered Olive, feeling slightly less surprised than someone who had never conversed with a cat before.
I thought you might be Horatio."
"No," said the huge black cat. "I've never been Horatio."
"I suppose not," said Olive. "You have her spectacles,"
said the cat with its eyes on the chain that hung around Olive's neck. Whose spectacles?
Hers.
Who's hers?
Miss McMartin's.
Oh, said Olive, touching the spectacles gently. I wasn't sure whose they were.
Now they're yours, said the cat.
I suppose so, said Olive. The cat regarded her calmly. My name is Olive Dunwoody, she said at last. I live here now.
Leopold, said the cat.
Olive got the feeling that if he had hands, the cat would have saluted.
How do you do?
Do you live down here?
This is my station, miss, said the cat with another sharp bow.
Your station? Are you guarding something?
I'm afraid that is classified information, said the cat, puffing out a chest that was clearly covered with imaginary medals.
I see, said Olive.
She glanced around the empty basement again, wondering what on earth this cat believed himself to be guarding. Then she noticed that he was not sitting on the floor. What the cat was sitting on was made of wood. It was flat and rectangular and had a handle made of an iron loop.
Is that a... said Olive.
No, said the cat.
I mean, is that...
No, it isn't.
Is that a trap door? Asked Olive.
Is what a trap door?
That, under you.
The cat glanced down.
No, it's not.
What's in it?
That is not for me to say, miss, said the cat. Besides, you are safer not knowing.
Olive put her head to one side and considered this for a moment.
What if I want to know anyway?
The cat blinked. Look, he said, dropping his military pose. If I tell you what's in there, then we're in trouble. And I don't mean just you and me. I mean everybody in this house. Olive crouched down on the floor in front of the cat. Is there anything I can do to help? The cat tilted his head. There might be some day, but for now, the cat paused and then said sheepishly, if you wanted to, you could aid the effort by boosting troop morale.
Oh, I would be happy to, said Olive.
Oh, good, said the cat.
Then would you scratch between my ears?
Olive scratched Leopold's glossy black head gamely. The cat began to purr, caught himself, and he jerked back into his military position. Your contribution is appreciated, miss, he said. From above there came the sound of two car doors slamming.
My mom and dad are home, said Olive. I have to go.
Good day, miss.
Bye, Leopold.
Olive watched the glimmer of the cat's green eyes grow fainter and fainter as she climbed the stairs. Perhaps the trap door was what the builders in the painting had meant about something funny. But where did the trap door go? And if Leopold was guarding it, how would she ever find out? And on the top step, Olive switched off the flashlight. The green glimmer disappeared, but Olive knew Leopold was still there, standing guard.